Good morning, church. I forgot how this works, I guess. Go ahead and pull out your Bibles and something to take notes with this morning. Hannah, thanks for sharing. I'm so proud of you. Way to go. Open up to John chapter 17. It's where we'll be this morning. I'm going to share with you this morning about kingdom assignments. Kingdom assignments is what I want to talk to you about. All right, now I'm actually ready. Okay, go ahead and stand for the reading of the Word of God. John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. So Jesus begins to pray. And he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning thankful. We're thankful for your presence. Thank you for your church, for your body. And we thank you for every group of people gathering in your name right now across our city and across the nations of the earth today. Thank you for your precious promise to be with us as we gather in your name. That's what we want to be this morning. We want to be here under you, in your name. So we welcome you. We turn towards you. We thank you for what you're doing in us this morning already. As we turn to your word, we pray that you would speak to us, you would shape us, encourage us, train us, rebuke us, exhort us, perfect us unto your good work, Lord. We pray your kingdom come, your will be done in our lives. We're desperate for your word. You told us to pray, "Give us today our daily bread." And you told us that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. Nourish us this morning. Teach us to hunger for you. Teach us to thirst for you. We turn ourselves towards you. And just as Hannah was sharing, Lord, help us in all of our weaknesses. Where we're not hungry, help us be hungry. Where we are hard-hearted, make our hearts soft. Where we're having a hard time coming to you, would you draw us in? We rest on you and lean into you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can take a seat. Amen. Where do you start with those verses? I mean, there's a lot there. That's why we've preached out of them a handful of times over the years. But I love these verses, John chapter 17, 1 through 5. Praise God. Well, Kingdom Conference was last week. Was anybody there for any part of it? So fun. I had a blast. I hope you had a blast. It was so good. I've heard so many good things. Obviously, Hannah just shared and been able to hear from a few of you. I've got my own stories. I got to meet with God, so I'm happy about that. And I know so many of you had significant moments with God, heard something significant, had great encounters with him. Praise the Lord that God's alive and not far off, and he's near. Amen? He doesn't owe us that stuff, you know? So glad that he pulls us close. In the weeks and the months leading up to Kingdom Conference, as you know, we were feeling like the Lord told us to pray into Kingdom Conference this simple prayer, "Speak, Lord, I'm listening." That was the prayer that God gave us into the conference. That was the theme of the conference. I hope that for you, that was a fruitful prayer in you. I hope that you engaged with that and that you experienced that, you know, when God gives us prayers like that, he's not giving us the magic formula to make him speak, but it's actually more preparing our hearts to listen because he's speaking. And I hope that you, through that prayer and through your engagement with God, saw yourself come more near to the Lord in a place to hear him speak, and that you did hear his voice. We also shared leading up to Kingdom Conference about how, as a leadership team, as we were preparing in the months leading up to Kingdom Conference and praying and asking the Lord what he wanted to do in Kingdom Conference, we believed that the Lord was promising that Kingdom Conference this year was not only going to be a time of you individually or us collectively encountering Jesus, but that we would have encounters with him where he would give us assignments in his kingdom. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, kingdom assignments. This is a necessary and needed follow-up message to what happened last weekend, to make sure that we are leaning into all that God invited us into in Kingdom Conference, not just great encounters last week, but assignments in his kingdom going forward. As we were praying for the conference, one thing that the Lord brought to our mind is, you've heard of this before, it's called Match Day in the medical school community. Like, the Lord brought that to our mind, this Match Day. So if you're not familiar with that, what happens is when after a student completes medical school, they apply for internships and residencies or fellowships to different programs around the country. And I don't know all the details. I think you can kind of prioritize which ones you want to go to and all this sort of thing. So you get your grades. John Koo's nodding, so that means I'm doing it right. So you complete school, but then you have to get your first job, this internship or fellowship or residency. So you apply to a bunch of places around the country. And Match Day is this one day, it's in March usually, where basically all of the medical students, or almost all of the medical students across the country, find out on the same day what program did they get matched to. So it's not like here's a job offer, it's like here's where you're going. This is your one option. So the student is obligated to take that assignment to that program, and the program is obligated to take them in. It is a mutual agreement on Match Day. So you get this envelope, you open it up, and you find out, hopefully, you got where you wanted to go. And, you know, some people are happy and some people aren't. So Match Day is a big day, and according to Wikipedia in 2017, just think about it, 2017, on Match Day, like, this is a big deal. So in 2017 is 32,000, almost 32,000 medical students across the country finding out at the same time, where am I going next? It's a big deal, big moment. And God put faith in our hearts as we were praying in the Kingdom Conference that this year he wouldn't just be showing up and we wouldn't only have encounters with him, but it would be like Match Day in the kingdom. That we would have encounters with him where he would give us assignments in his kingdom. When Jesus gives assignments, he's not making suggestions. So the rich young ruler is like, what do I do? And he's like, go sell everything and follow me. And he's like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to do that. Jesus didn't say, oh, okay. Well, in that case, let me give you something else to do. When the Lord Jesus gives us assignments, they're not suggestions. Match Day is not a suggestion. This is your one option. You take it or you leave it. You're in or you're out. And when the king gives an assignment, he's not asking for your feedback. He's not asking for your opinion. He's not asking for your approval. He is the king. You are not. It's his kingdom, and we're just living in it. I praise God, we get to live in it. And we get to live in it as sons, as co-heirs. Come on, somebody. Praise the Lord. We are invited, and we are adopted, and we are loved, and we are cared for. He is our Father in heaven, and it is his kingdom. We get to sit with him in heavenly places, but that doesn't mean we take his spot on the throne. It's his kingdom. We're just living in it. It's his. And all of that is true. All of it's true that we're loved and adopted and cared for and children. And none of that replaces the fact that he is the king and we are not. So what I want to talk to you about this morning is to challenge you and to encourage you and exhort you as you reflect on Kingdom Conference, and even if you didn't go and you're kind of like, this is just for them, just step into it. I believe that this is a time where God is giving assignments, because all time is a time when God is giving assignments. This is like what he does. He calls all people to himself. So this is for all of us. But as you were reflecting on Kingdom Conference, don't move on without asking the Lord what assignment he has given you. This is part of his invitation for why we did Kingdom Conference this year. It wasn't just about momentary encounters. The promise of the Lord is assignments in his kingdom. Reflect on the encounter with him that you had, but don't only reflect on that. Don't only process through what happened or what didn't happen. Don't only think about it. Don't only think about what God did or what God didn't do. Don't move on from Kingdom Conference until you have asked the King what assignment he has given you in this encounter. Lord, it can be anything. It can be anything. Let that be your prayer. I've talked about that Friday night. We have to be open to let it be anything, anywhere. But we just say, Lord, speak, Lord. I'm listening. I want to participate in your kingdom. It's a prayer of surrender, because you don't know what he's going to say next. But will you pray that prayer of surrender about participating in his kingdom? Lord, I want the assignment that you have for me, because I want to step into what you're doing. I want to be a part of what you're doing. Don't just let Kingdom Conference be an encounter that you remember. Let it be an assignment that you have received. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. In John chapter 17, Jesus is headed to the cross and he's praying. I'm so encouraged that Jesus prayed. It's probably why we should pray. Jesus prays heading towards the cross. And as he's praying, he is confessing to the Father that he has completed his assignment. Jesus had an assignment. And he tells us here in John chapter 17, verses 1 and 2, what that assignment was. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and he prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. There are many ways that the Bible describes Jesus' assignment on earth. He came to heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils. He came to conquer the devil. He came to give life and life abundantly. He came to forgive sins. He came to do what the Father was doing and say what the Father was saying. He came to announce, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He came to do all of this. These aren't separate things. It's all different ways of saying this thing. And here in John chapter 17, Jesus captures all of those things in this prayer, as he confesses the completion of his assignment, that the Father gave the Son authority over all people so that the Son might give eternal life. That was Jesus' assignment. To give eternal life to all of those that the Father has given him. Jesus' assignment, Father, you sent me here to give eternal life. And that doesn't mean to just give people a ticket to heaven someday when they die. Don't just think eternal life starts after I die. It's not about getting to heaven someday. Jesus continues in verse 3, now this is eternal life. How convenient. He came to give eternal life. Well, what does that mean? Now, this is eternal life, that they know you. That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's it. That is eternal life. Eternal life is not just a gift that you receive or realize when you die and when you get to heaven, eternal life is knowing God. It's kind of a lot to think about. When you know God, you have eternal life. It's not just like a thing. It's relationship with him, knowing the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. When Jesus gives you an assignment, he is inviting you into participation in his kingdom. He is speaking his word to you, and then you hear it. And then when you receive it and you begin to respond to it, then you do what he talked about in John 15 when he said, "Let my word abide in you." What does it mean to let the word of God abide in you? Hear it and then take it in, and then you begin to respond to it. That's how you stay in the word of God. You respond to what he's saying. You do what he's doing. You say what he's saying. And that's what Jesus showed us how to do. And when his word abides in you and you abide in his word, he bears much fruit in you and through you to the glory of God the Father. He's not just trying to get you to like do stuff, you know, to prove something to him or to get a check mark at church or to get to heaven someday when you die and earn all this stuff. God is moving. His kingdom has come and is coming. He is alive and moving by the power of the Holy Spirit. The one prayer he outlined for us is, "Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, bring me in to what you're doing now." Because he's moving. He's the king now. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. Praise God. And when he speaks to you and he gives you something to do, it's to do it with him. It's not just this like, "Hey, go run around and do something for me because I got nothing else to do and I don't know what to do with you until you die and get to heaven since you're saved and all. I don't know what we do between now and then. So if you could like do stuff for me and go to church, that'd be great." The good news is better than that. We get born again now. And adopted in to the family of God, into the kingdom of God, to join with him as his children in what he's doing. When you meet with Jesus and he speaks to you and you respond and you follow him and you participate with him in what he is doing, you have eternal life. That's what it means to have eternal life now. Know him. Know him. Live your life knowing him. How do you know him? You hear his voice and you respond because he's revealing himself to you. He already said, making the Father known. That's what he's doing. It's what he's doing. It's how you have eternal life now. Eternal life now means taking up his assignment for you. His assignment is an invitation into eternal life. Whether you understand it or not, take him up on his invitation. You may think it's big or small, but it doesn't matter. You may think it's super spiritual or that it isn't, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you think about it. You may think it's mundane and lame and probably too insignificant, and the super spiritual people you know had a bigger encounter with God where they got a bigger assignment, but it doesn't matter what you think. He's giving it to you so that you can know him and have eternal life. So this feels really vulnerable to share something that God's inviting me into right now. I'm going to share an assignment that the Lord has brought to Heather and I. Some of you are going to think this is really silly because it is, but it's God. So you're going to know where this is going right away. But, you know, we're not pet people. I grew up with dogs and loved them like crazy, but as an adult with kids and all this stuff, it's just been a hard no for us. Not going to happen. Our kids want pets, but we're not interested. So in the week or so leading up to Kingdom Conference, I'm praying, just spending time with the Lord, and I feel like he's like, I want you to be open to a dog. And I'm like, oh, God, no. That can only mean one thing. So I tell Heather, I'm like, hey, babe, I think the Lord wants us to be open to getting a dog. And she's like, why? Why would he want us to be open to such a thing? I'm like, I think we both know, but oh God, no. Lord, no. So, you know, there's like lots to that. I'm not going into all the backstory and different things going on. It's like, you know, it's kind of for our whole family, but it's kind of mainly for Smith. His birthday's next week, you know, all that sort of stuff. He really wants one. I know. Oh, that's so cute. Okay, so we're both pretty freaked out and hoping that the answer is no. But he said, I want you to be open to it, which means, yes, sir. He didn't say, do you want to be open to it? He said, I want you to be open to this. So Heather is a woman of God, and I was like, well, I guess let's hear God on this. By good way to start is hearing Lord on stuff is to start heading down the road and see what happens. So she starts asking, doing all these researching. We talk about what dogs we would want, what we wouldn't want, all kinds of different stuff, and all the reasons, of course, we don't want this dog. So not getting into all of it, the bottom line is Thursday we get this call from this person that we had already talked to who it wasn't going to happen there, and then all of a sudden this lady is like, well, you know, this breeder person, I have this dog who was for this person who can't take it now, and now there's this deal on this dog if you come get her tonight. Do you want her? We're like, well, I just, at some point you got to just jump in what you know God's doing. So we tell the kids we're going to a park. We get in the car. We pull up to the place. We're not going to a park. We're getting a puppy. So introducing the newest member of the Zanaco family, Coco. Okay, take it down. All right. So who's excited? I just showed you a picture of a puppy. Yeah. Okay. So some of you may think this is ridiculous and over-spiritualizing. Some of you are like, it's the Lord. He loves dogs. But the point that I'm sharing with you is not that we got a puppy. The point is that God started speaking to us and invited us into an assignment, not to get a puppy. That's not what this is about for us, though we do have a puppy now. There's things that it doesn't matter if I even share them or not, because it's like there's things God's doing in us and our family right now that this just happens to push on all of those buttons. There's things we've been talking about, things we're working through, dynamics going on in our house with our kids and siblings and me and Heather, and different things we are maybe struggling to not be anxious about in life right now. And all of a sudden, God introduces this thing that hits on all of those buttons. That's what it was about. God's getting at all of these things. And it was like, okay, you know, what he's doing, God's assignment is not just for us to have a dog. He's brought us to himself. And I'm not saying, oh, go get a dog, it'll bring you to God. I'm saying he knew all the ways to, at one time, to push on every button to get this dog Thursday night and have Heather and I having a conversation yesterday of like, all of our buttons are getting pushed. We need Jesus. Not because we have a dog. It's not like we weren't praying about, oh, what do we do with this dog? I'm not worried about the dog. But the dog has brought up all these other worries to the surface. And now Heather and I are praying together about things we haven't prayed together about yet. We're more desperate to hear God speak on some things that are totally unrelated because he was getting at it. He was bringing us to know him in this totally random, not spiritual thing. The reason I share that is that hear the voice of the Lord and lean in. Don't be scared about, well, spiritual people don't think that, you know, dogs are the Lord. There, your pastor said it. like, I don't know. I'm not saying the dogs are spiritual. I'm just being vulnerable. It's like, you never know what he's doing. But whatever he's doing, you know, I have every reason to be like, this isn't even a spiritual thing. God wouldn't try to get to my heart through this way. Because I know better. And really, I'm just protecting myself from all the things that God's actually trying to set me free from. And bind Heather and I more together in our marriage and in our family. And our kids. It's just, oh. What I'm trying to say is there is new life in God that we've begun experiencing in the last few days. And it's not because Coco's cute. Coco is cute. But it's because God has pricked our hearts and knew the way to get to us. And you need to trust him. Jesus promised that he's going to give us assignments in his kingdom. And whatever assignment he gives you, what he's doing is bringing you closer to him. And he is eternal life. He has an assignment to give eternal life. Which means when he makes himself known to you, he's giving you eternal life. Praise the Lord. Don't miss whatever God's doing in you in this time, right here, right now, in these weeks. It may be out of left field. It might not be out of left field. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you're like, oh, I wish there was a random thing because I actually know exactly what it is. But Lord, I don't, you know. Surely if it's you, it has to be random. And he's like, you know exactly. It's been a year I've been talking to you. It's been months we've been talking about this. No, you don't need a fresh word from God. It may be exciting to you. It may not be exciting to you. It may push on some fears, insecurities, anxieties, concerns. You may love it and can't wait. It might be about the nations. It might be about a dog. But God is inviting you into him to make himself known to you so that you can have eternal life in his kingdom. Because you need Jesus. You need eternal life. You need eternal life. And so does everybody else in the world. I don't know if in the last, you know, lifetime or so, you've looked up beyond your own feet. Everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs eternal life. You need eternal life for you, and you need eternal life so that you can share eternal life with the rest of the world. We need Jesus for ourselves, but we need Jesus so that we can actually share Jesus with the rest of the world. It's hard to share him when you don't know him. But when you respond to his voice and you come near to him, you get to know him more, and then you can share him with other people because you've come to know him. You have received eternal life, and now you have eternal life to share with the world. This was Jesus' assignment. He knew the Father, and he came to make the Father known. And in making the Father known, he gave you and the world eternal life. We know him. We know him. We know him, and we must know him more, and we must help others know him. He's it. Everybody needs eternal life, and he is eternal life. This is our assignment. Whatever the particulars look like, God is calling you right now deeper into him so that you can know him more and have a deeper taste of eternal life, because you need eternal life. And the world around you needs eternal life. And so when you get more deeper experience, revelation, understanding with Jesus, you have more to share with the world around you who needs it so badly. This is how his kingdom works. If I was him, I wouldn't have picked me. Or most of us, let's be honest. There's a few of us I'd pick. Like Heather's at the top of the list. Like, yeah, God, I get that. You should totally choose her to work through. But me, like, seriously, this is your plan. Make yourself known to me and I get to make you known to everybody else. That's how we're doing this. And the king says, that's how I'm doing it. We've got to step into this. People need Jesus. Last year, In Kingdom Conference, one of the things we weren't praying for was that God would catalyze more prayer in our church. But God did that. If you've been here since last year at Kingdom Conference, you know so much prayer happening in church, so much more. It's just been amazing. And one of the things that I was praying for in the Kingdom Conference, that God didn't really like promise this, but it's just been my prayer, is like, Lord, what you did in prayer last year in us, like you just kind of like zapped us and started us praying more. Do that in us this year with evangelism. We need it as a church, Lord. We can talk about it all day long, and I can get people fired up, but Lord, we need you to just get it in us. And so this John 17 thing, I feel like what I feel like the Lord's doing is he's calling us in. He's like, we don't need to talk about evangelism right now. We need to talk about giving the world eternal life. This is the assignment he's giving us as a church, and you individually, in some form or fashion, is to share eternal life with the world. I know when you hear the word evangelism, people think so many different things, and those are all fine and good things, but it can be one of those things that has all this baggage to it sometimes, and that's all of our faults. It's not God's fault. It's not the gospel's fault, but here it is. We got our baggage. So let's cut through it and say, does the world need eternal life? Yes. Who else has it to give? Nobody. Nobody. And Jesus is doing it, and we get to participate with him. Whatever your assignment is coming out of Kingdom Conference, part of it is to help people know Jesus more. It's what he's doing. He wants to use you to share eternal life with the world. Some of you at Kingdom Conference, you felt something. Some of you didn't. Some of you wanted the gift of tongues and you got it. Some of you wanted it and you didn't. Some of you didn't want the gift of tongues and you got it. Some of you wanted a prophetic word about this thing that was going on in your life, and some of you got it, and some of you didn't. Some of you had the thing you were waiting for happen in God. You were saying, God, you're promising encounters, and what that means in my head is this thing, and then that happened. And you're so happy and excited, and I'm happy for you, and some of you didn't. For some of you, the thing you wanted to have happen happened. Some of you didn't. Some of you are fired up. Some of you have questions. And as you process through that, we can get so wrapped up in just trying to think about encounters sometimes. And we get happy about what happened the way we wanted it to happen, or we get disappointed about what didn't happen the way we wanted it to happen. But we have to remember, whatever God did or didn't do, according to what you were expecting, God did encounter you in the way he saw fit. To call you and prepare you and bring you into the next assignment that he has for you so that you can know eternal life more and you can share eternal life with the world. Where you're encouraged, lean in and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. How can I know you more through this, and how can I make you known more? What can I do to partner with you in making you known in all of this? And what you're not excited about, what didn't happen, what you did get hurt by or disappointed by, like Eli said, maybe it's the Lord. Let him do as he sees fit. Lord, what are you getting at? What are you getting at for you? So to help put some feet to this and sort of give a framework to help you think about this and help you hear the Lord, I want to put all of this in context of our five values as a church. You don't have to think, I'm going to go through these real quick, and I'm about to just say a lot of stuff. The point is not that you need to react and respond to everything that I'm about to say. The reason I'm walking through this is that I want you to be hearing, listening for the Lord on the one thing. You don't need to do all of this, but you do need to do something. What is the Lord calling you to? What is the assignment of the Lord? Hopefully that'll make sense as we go through it. You don't need to do everything I'm about to talk about, but you do have to do something. You have to do something. You have to respond to the Lord. There's something personal in these values that God is calling you to. And there's something for you in making eternal life known that God is calling you to. So I just want you to listen and listen all the way through and pay attention for what is the Lord highlighting. Number one, personal devotion. Are you devoted to Jesus? Are you devoted to Jesus? Do you spend time with him? If you don't, that's definitely God's assignment for you. You need to spend time with Jesus. Do you practice the disciplines of a devoted life to him? You personally need to do that. When it comes to those who don't know the Lord Jesus, as Hannah was talking, I felt like the Lord was highlighting this point, and I almost jumped up and said something, but I was like, well, wait, we're going to get there. Like, intercession counts. And there's certain ones of you that are like, oh, I hear evangelism and I can't go out and talk in the streets. Can you pray for the lost? Can you pray for those who don't know Jesus? There's some of you who need to start like weekly corporate prayer times for us that are just dedicated to praying for the lost, praying for people who don't know Jesus. Who are you praying for in your time with Jesus who doesn't know him? Can you partner with Jesus in sharing eternal life with those who don't have it? Can you do that in the secret place of personal devotion? Do you need to take a step in that? Is he inviting you into that assignment? Number two, making disciples. Are you teaching others to follow Jesus? Are you asking the Lord to include you in what he's doing in the lives of others? Are you helping others listen to the voice of God and respond to it? Not only talking about mentoring, I'm talking about helping people be disciples of Jesus, hear the voice of God and follow him. If you have the thought around here, man, we really need to do more about discipleship around here, that means you need to. That's the Lord giving you an assignment. That was easy. Come and talk to us. Don't go talk to other people about how Antioch needs to do more of this or that. Come talk to us and we'll help you get into what we're doing and take what you're doing. Let's do this together. Let's do it together. It's the whole point. Yes, we're trying to make disciples. And if you feel led to make disciples, that's not because you're called to it. It's because you're a Christian. And he said, go make disciples. So yes, we need to do more making disciples, which means we need you to. All of us need you to. We all need each other to, because Jesus wants all of us doing that. Are you doing it? Well, what the heck does that mean? Talk to Sam. He'd love to help you with that. I'm dead serious. There's so many, like, you're one question away from being mobilized beyond what you think you're capable of doing. You saw Kirk on Saturday morning talking about all the stuff. He talked about the include me prayer, listening to the Lord for others. And you observed a lifestyle of like, that dude is a disciple of Jesus and he bleeds helping others know Jesus. We can't all be Kirk, and he talked about his own personality and all that sort of thing. But there are tools that he has worked on over decades that really is just about cutting off all the distracting stuff and helping us get focused. If you're like, I can't do it, you can, because Jesus said you need to. Come and talk to Sam. We want to help you make disciples. The third is life group. Do you have people you're devoted to following Jesus with? Are you in life group? If you're not, you should be. Not because you need community or friends or whatever. You will get that, and that's all good, but we have to be devoted to following Jesus with other people. The things of life group in Acts 2:42, fellowship, the breaking of bread, devotion to the apostles' teaching, prayer, they're not primarily about you and your needs. It doesn't say you need to do small groups so you make friends. You will make friends, but you need to participate in the kingdom of God. You need to have people in your life that you're praying with, that you're digesting the Bible with, that you're breaking bread with, that you're fellowshipping with. You have to do that. That's what Christians have been doing since day one. Like, that's the constant. You find Christians anywhere, anytime through history, in any part of the planet, they're doing those four things. We can talk about, you know, Sunday mornings and all this stuff. Fine. Fellowship, breaking of bread, devotion to the word of God and prayer. Get around people to build you up and go to life group because you want to know Jesus more and you want to help other people know Jesus. That's what life group is for. That's what it's for. And when it's about less than that, it feels like it's less than that. Oh. Okay, number four, corporate gatherings. Corporate gatherings. Are you a functioning member of the local church? Again, this is just what us Christians do. We get together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do you come to church? It's a good first step. I know you're here right now. Is this a priority in your life? Is the gathering of the saints a priority in your life? Are you serving the church? Jesus said he came not to be served, but to serve. What is your norm? What is your attitude of coming in to the people of God? Is it to be served or to serve? If Jesus came to serve and not be served, why should any of us come into his house as those to be served? We're here to serve him by serving one another. We talk about A-Kids all the time, and just thank you to everybody who does that. That's not just making Sundays happen. That is a kingdom assignment. And that's not even just the Antioch Indy kingdom assignment. You are making disciples when you serve in kids. You are letting the little children come to him. You are fulfilling the word of the Lord Jesus to you as a Christian when you serve these kids. And I'm so proud of you, and I'm so thankful for you. And you're doing a great job, and keep it up. Even when you get tired, like, this isn't going, kids aren't going anywhere. Like, this is kind of our thing. Like, we are spiritual parents of all of these children. Right. We're not serving any kids for us. We're doing it for them and for the Lord Jesus. You're doing so great, and I'm so proud of you for that. And honestly, if you're frustrated about how many servers we need in Antioch Kids and you think you have better ideas, please let us know. Right. Frankly, sometimes I hear about, like, well, there's a better way to do it. It's like, I'm interested. If there's an idea you have that we haven't had, we'd love to hear it. Let's do it. Like, let's do it. Let's just work together. But don't not serve just because you're, like, frustrated. It's a participation sport here at church. And that means more than any of our kids. I love what Joe Ewan said when he was here. Do you ask God where to sit on Sunday morning? I love that. Not because it's like, oh, that's the right way to do it. It's like, let's switch one empty routine for another empty routine. But what do you have expectation in your heart when you come to church? It's like, God's about to use me in this body. I love what Hannah said. You may feel like an appendix. I kind of take it or leave it, but today somebody's going to take it. Somebody's going to get blessed by me. Again, how are you coming to the body of Christ? Are you coming in to build, to bind up, to unify? Last thing on this, I just want to let you know, like, at some point we are going to two services. I knew that wouldn't get any cheers, Sam. So that's not today. And I know that nobody wants to do that, but every single one of us needs to get over it. Because it's not about us. People are coming. And people are going to continue to come. And the right response to that at some point is going to be laying down all of our preferences and making room. So whenever it happens, let's just be excited about it. So I just want to put that on your radar. The last one is life on mission. Are you participating in the purposes of God? Are you participating in the purposes of God? Everything that we've talked about is the purposes of God, but this is just sort of the language that we use to try to capture, like, outside of our own life, outside of the church, that kind of thing. Some of you hear about evangelism, sharing eternal life, and you're like, yes, I just want to go talk to people. Do it. And some of you are like, when is somebody going to lead that? Go for it. We've got people who want to go to Saraga and share the gospel with international people from all over the world. It's a block away. It's like amazing. So, like, yes, please. If you have a stirring to share the gospel or reach the nations, that is the Lord. And I want to help mobilize you in that. You just might need to be willing to help lead it, which would be awesome. That might be God's assignment for you. At some point, we're going to be church planting. We're going to be sending people from this church to start new churches. Some of you feel stirred to that. Please come talk to me. Please let me know that so we can begin to pray and fast and seek the Lord together on what that looks like. Don't just let that stirring be something that happens in you. It's like the way God calls people is like he's calling you out of here so we can work together and do that. You don't have to see that as like, oh, well, that's just like my thing. No, that's like a body thing. It's a body thing. Let's do it. God's begun speaking about it. I have no idea where it's going, but we need to start some prayer times. Some of you who feel stirred to church planting need to help lead that out. Some regular prayer times to begin this praying and fasting and saying, Lord, who are you setting apart to send where? What does that look like? Where are we going? God's put different things on the radar. I don't know what he's doing, but he's opening up our mind. And for some of you, that's been stirring, and you need to come and talk to us. Maybe stateside, might be international, but let's do this together. If God's beginning to stir that calling in you, let's fan it into flame and seek the Lord together. Some of you need to start going to prayer for the nations that the Ramoses and the Lambs lead every other Thursday night. Participate in what God's doing in the nations. Maybe you can't do that Thursday night thing, but you want to help stir up a heart for what God's doing in the nations in this church. So start another prayer time, please. There's endless opportunities in the kingdom of God. Not to just like encounter him and feel really good, but to know him more and then be sent by the power of the Holy Spirit to make him known in your life and to the nations of the earth. And we get to do it together. One thing we can all be sure of is whatever the assignment is that God's inviting us into, it's not about any one of us. It's not just your calling for you to go do. It's Jesus building his body to be his hands and feet. Let's do it together. The last thing that your calling or assignment from God should be is isolating. Let's do it together. Let's pray. Let's encourage one another. Let's work together and be different parts of the body. Build each other up. Cry out for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Let us taste eternal life now and give eternal life to the world. I want to pray for us as we end this morning. I'm going to pray that God would speak, and we're just going to be quiet for a second and just ask the Lord if there's anything that he's highlighting for you. And I'm going to put up 3 email addresses on the screen. How official is that? If you feel like anything in the first 3, personal devotion, making disciples, or life group, is like, yeah, I need to do something on that, email Sam, and that's what he's here for, equipping you in whatever it is that God's stirring that for. If there's something on the corporate gathering side of things that you're stirred for, email Chris. If there's something on the life on mission side of things, email me. You don't have to have all your answers or whatever. Let's just talk. And let's hear the Lord together. So Lord, I just come and ask that you would make clear before we leave here for those who you're pressing on or those who are listening, what of what I said or even didn't say are you assigning for your kingdom? Lord, you told us that you're our shepherd and that we're your sheep, that you're speaking and we hear your voice. You promised us that when your word abides in us, that you would abide in us and we would abide in you, and you would bear your fruit for your kingdom in and through us. You promised us that when the Holy Spirit comes on us, we would have power to be your witnesses to the ends of the earth, and that we would have boldness as we're filled with you to do what it is you've called us to. Lord, we're asking that you would fulfill all of those promises in each one of us and in this church as a whole. We are asking that you would teach us how to partner with you in that, follow you in that, and walk with you. Thank you for being eternal life. Thank you for the taste of it now. We want to participate with you in what you're doing. Would you fill us with your word and with your spirit? Send us out in power and bind us together in the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace as a church. I pray that you empower even the staff and leadership and pastors and elders of this church to equip the saints for the work of your ministry, that we would be fully matured into you, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this time here together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So glad you're here at church this morning. I hope you hear the Lord knocking on the door of your heart. If you need to stop by the Connect area on your way out, we'll have some folks there. If you need to give your life to Jesus, stop by the Connect area on your way out. If I could just have a few prayer people be available up here. If you came to church needing prayer, or you need it now, don't leave without getting it. And have an incredible week in the grace of God. I love you very much.